Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, Praise Break Friday. Woo! Praise Break Friday. My God, I'm excited. It's Friday. Friday. Hey, God, it's September 29th, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. Man, and we have a show for you today. Today's topic is going to be good. Y'all ready for this? It's going to be good. How to move from song leading to worship leading. How to move from song leading to worship leading. That's the title of today's show. It's going to be good. There's a difference. I hope y'all know there's a difference between leading a song and leading worship. That's going to be today's topic of conversation. We're going to hit on that in a few, but I just want y'all to get ready for that. I need my musicians. I need my soloist. I need my praise and worship leaders. I need all of y'all. If you know them, call them, text them. Share the video. Get ready. It's going to be good. Y'all going to have a good time today. I'll let you know it's going to be good, 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 and good. But look, as always, it's your boy, your host, Miss Danielle King. Look, I'm by myself again in the studio, but it's all right. Hey, it's just me, myself, and my producer. That's all we got. That's what we do, right? We good to go, but we got this thing, man. We going to flow with it. And hey, look, I got y'all. So I'm not by myself. Y'all on the line. Everybody is good. Let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all ought to get excited, right? Praise Break Friday. Get excited about this thing. Real quick. Let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. I'm just, man, I don't know why I'm like extra geeked up today, but I really am. I'm just excited. I think it's because it's Friday, right? It's Friday. I'm just ready to go. I just feel like something's about to break. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like some weight is being lifted off of some folk. I think something's going to happen good today around here, and I'm just excited about it, man. I came in. Let me do the rundown on how you could be a part of today's show. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but sometime every now and then, you know, you just feel like, you know, something just about to break loose. I got to catch myself. All right, let me bring it on down. Let me get it together. I don't want to jump the gun. I don't want to jump the gun. You know how sometimes, you know, see, I'm not a musician, but sometimes the musician want to push the preacher before the preacher ready to get there. So I don't want to go there, but I understand where it's at right now, because I feel that thing. I'm telling y'all, I walked in here, I drove in here, I had a good drive in, and I'm just ready. I'm just ready. So I'm gonna just you know, get it together. I'm gonna hold it together until I get it right. But let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's
you wanna
show.
Let me now, you want to wait for a manifestation of something else to happen? What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with? Tell him I can't wait for tomorrow, because he's been too good. Hey, Shondo. You better praise him in the house. Now you better stop praising it, because somebody's gonna think you crazy in a minute. Now, has God really been that good to you? Has He really been that good to you? What got the victory. One, two, three, go! Come on and praise him. Hey! I will! One more thing he's done. One, two, three, go!
I got a little carried away. I'm sorry. I got a little carried away. Y'all play something. I'm just too many messages at the same time. I done cut off that movie. I done lost that movie. I'm sorry, y'all. I got a little excited. Y'all just play something. Come on. Let's calm on down. All right. Let's come on back. I'm sorry. I know people are like, well, did he cut off the Facebook Live? I hit the button. I was trying to do too much at one time, and I hit the button on the Facebook Live and killed the feed. So, you know, it should be back up. It's up now. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all come on back in and tell your peoples. yeah, doing too much. But we back live, part two, it's in there, we are good, man. So anyway, let me give you a rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, those of you, man, if you're on social media, this is what you do. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet the show. At TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can do that. Go there, hit the like button, tell your people, tell your mom and them all about the show. It's good stuff. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You will find us there. God bless y'all. Also, Facebook Live is up and running. All you got to do is go to your Facebook page. It's real easy to find. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and we would be glad to have you join in with us. Love y'all's comments all the time. Always good times. Really do appreciate y'all and all that y'all do. Again, sorry about the little mishap. I got a little excited. See, y'all don't see. So when I'm here by myself, right, I got to run both. You know, see, I got all my Blog Talk stuff is running from this computer. Let me give y'all a little help. All my Blog Talk stuff is running from this computer over here, right? Everything, there's a computer. See, y'all, all y'all is this and this, but there's a whole bunch of stuff up underneath here, right? Buttons and mouses and all that kind of stuff, right? So one mouse, this one over here, controls this computer over here, and then this one over here is for this computer over here, right? So what happened is I got a little excited, and I thought I was working over here, but I pushed the button over there. That's what happened. I killed the Facebook feed. I'm sorry. It just happened. Got too excited for my own good. Anyway, email the show. You can email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to read those emails on the air. And I'll make sure I pay attention to the emails today because that was my fault. I missed some emails on Wednesday about some oxtails. I got excited when I saw an email about an oxtail. I don't know about y'all, but the oxtail ministry is a wonderful thing. I got excited. And I hate I missed that email on Wednesday, but I was doing too much laughing in here with the good old Cardinal, and that's how we managed to miss that. Amen. So, and last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast. Go to any the areas where you watch podcasts, any of the areas where you listen to podcasts, and just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. We are syndicated. I don't know if y'all know what that means. Syndicated means we everywhere. Syndicated means you're out there. You can be found. It means that your stuff is recorded and it's out there forever. So we out there, you know. So I just want y'all to know that. That's what syndication means. So we're syndicated. So you can find us anywhere. Just do a simple search for Taking Limits Off Radio. Hit the subscribe button, and there you go. You're blessed with it. You'll bless us, and hopefully we will bless you. Amen. Hey, y'all. I can calm down a little bit now. It's Friday, right? It's Friday. And hey, let me just say this. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Let me tell y'all. So I was up, you know, last night doing this, you know, this school thing is a lot. It's a lot. So I was up last night doing some reading and then also doing some writing because I have to some stuff I need to get ready to do in the next coming month. So I was doing some writing and most people don't know this. When I study, when I'm preparing and stuff like that, I need distractions. Right. Because I've never been one who likes to study in quiet. That's just not how my brain functions. So, you know, for most people, when they say they're like me in a library, doesn't work. It's too quiet. It's not, you know, it does not work. Now, I could go to a library now. If I had me some headphones, I could put on and listen to some music or something. But anyway, I need stuff happening around me. Right. So there's a TV on, you know, there might be some music on, there might be a video playing on the back end of the computer, and then all this other stuff's going on, and then I got my books up, and then I'm reading and all this stuff, and I'm going from one thing to the next because that's how I'm able to focus. I'm able to focus in the midst of all of that distraction. I have not yet been able to teach myself to just focus without any of the distractions. It probably would be a wonderful thing. Amen, church. It probably would be a wonderful thing if I was able to just focus straight in without any distractions. But anyway, to God be the glory. So I was writing, and I just started thinking about, you know, I was watching the news, and they were still talking about what's going on in Puerto Rico, and then they were still talking about the people trying to recover down in Florida and all these other places. And then you know, with all this stuff with the protest and NFL and taking a knee during the anthem and all. And I'm just sitting back and I said to myself, ain't God good? And the reason I say ain't God good, and y'all say, well, wow, how did you get that out of all that stuff? How you get ain't God good? Well, I'm going to tell you. I was working last night and I got I get random Facebook messages. I'm not going to give the person's name. Because I just don't want to do that. And if he or she, if they're listening now, they can feel free to share their message. But I just want to give you a little bit of what the message was. Random person I've never met, don't know them. Matter of fact, they're not even in the state. They just went out and texted me via Facebook Messenger. And this is what it said. The message came through at 12:01 midnight last night. This is what the message said. It said, "Hello, Mr. King. May I ask you a question? How do you know," this is what it say, "how do you know if you and God are in good standing?" That's what the message said. And then it says, "I hope this doesn't sound like a dumb question." That's the and it shocked me. So the message sat up there for about 10 or 15 minutes because I get inbox stuff all the time. And a lot of it is those crazy Facebook chain messages. And I could do a whole show about how y'all really upset me attaching me to them chain messages in Facebook, talking about sending this to the next 25 people so God can bless you. I really could do a whole show on that, but I ain't going to go in on y'all sending me them inbox chain messages. That's a bunch of mess. But anyway, the person sent me this message. And it sat in my inbox till about 12. It sat in my inbox till about 12:30-ish. And finally, I was doing something, and I clicked on it accidentally because I figured it was more chain mail, chain message stuff via Facebook. So I wasn't even going to open it. Normally, I just move it. I hit the spam button. But I was going through and on my computer, and I clicked on it accidentally, and I read it. And again, I'll read it for you again if you just joined. The message, random message from a person on Facebook, it says, "Hello, Mr. King. Can you tell me how do you know if you are in good standings with God? She says, I hope this doesn't sound like a dumb question, but I just want to know. That's what it said. So I sat there and you know, first I was like, oh, I got the answer to this. But then I said, no, Danny, you ain't got the answer. You better pray for a minute. So I took about 5 minutes, literally. I muted the TV for a hot second, and I prayed for about 3 to 4 minutes real good. And I prayed for clarity before I answered. And then this is what God revealed to me. I said to her, and I'll read you what I said. I said, take a good look at where you are right now. This is what I said. I said, take a good look at where you are right now and the order of your life, the order of your life. And I said, if things are moving in a forward direction, even though it may not be as fast as you want it to, but if they're moving in a forward direction, that's God. See, God does not keep us in stagnation. God does not keep us he does not hold us in a standstill. He's always pushing us forward. So I said, if all of those things, I said, if your life, look at where you are, and if you can say, yes, I'm not where I should be, but I'm not where I used to be, I said, that's God. And that lets you know you're in the process of being in good standing with God. Then the person responded. I'm just going to give you a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit now. The person says, she says, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm having a hard time knowing what he wants for me. And then she just helped me out. Then she just helped me out. Cause I said, that's when I responded. I said, now look, that's wonderful that you're not where you used to be, but you're not where you want to be. So so there's a drive in you. I'm going to help somebody today. That means that God has placed a drive in you. He has placed a desire in you that lets you know that comfortability is not where you're supposed to be. See, at no point in your life should you be comfortable where you say, I'm good where I am. That's how you know that's God. See, I'm not talking about not being satisfied. There's a difference. I'm saying God is always going to push you for more. He's always going to ask you to stretch your faith. Because, see, God, he says himself, greater works will you do. I ain't said it. He said it. How are you going to do greater works sitting in the same position you've been in forever? How do you expect to do greater works and not making any efforts to push forward? So I finished this conversation and I didn't want to, I'm not going to share all of it. I asked her this. I said, how often do you pray? Because she was kind of concerned with how does she know she's hearing the voice of God. So I said, how often do you pray? And the answer was, I pray all the time. But she says, I sometimes I don't. I just kneel in silence and I don't know what to say. And I said, I asked her this, and I'm going to give y'all this too. Because a lot of times we'll pray to God in silence and we'll pray orally to God and we'll do all these things and we're expecting to hear some auditory sound. And because we're looking for answers, a lot of times we'll get answers from places and it'll be us answering ourselves and it won't be God. So what I told her was, I said, take yourself out of the equation. For the next 3 days, I'm going to help somebody today. I know how we always praying for God. You know, God, you know my heart. God, you know I need this. God, my family needs this. God, I need this on my job. God, I need this financially. God, I need this physically. God, help my ministry. God, do this. God, do this. I know we always praying for these things, right? This was my suggestion to her, and I don't know. This may help somebody else today. My suggestion was, I said this. I said, do you know of someone, do you know of anyone who is really in need of prayer? That was my question I asked of her. I said, do you know of anyone who is really in need of prayer? And then I asked her this. I said, do you know of anyone who really does not care for you? So two things, someone who really needs prayer and then someone who really don't care for you, meaning don't like you, don't really care about you, you know, don't really care for you. So those two people. And the God gave me this. He said, now watch this. God gave me this. He says, now pray for them. And I mean sincerely, for real, pray for them. Don't ask God for anything concerning you. Help me, Holy Ghost. Don't ask God for anything concerning you. Just pray for them. And pray for them for the next 3 days. Don't do nothing else in your prayer, but pray for them and thank God for them. See, take the focus off of you and pray for somebody else. And watch this. In the process, I've learned this through some hardships. In the process of you praying for somebody else, God will reveal to you. Oh, my God, help me now. God will reveal to you. Then you'll hear the voice of God will get a little bit clearer. Oh, help me, Jesus. The voice of God will get a look. You'll start to understand who he is and what he is and how he works. And then all of a sudden, now you'll start to hear the voice of God because you went to God on behalf of somebody else. You became an intercessor. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. You became an intercessor for someone else. See, a lot of times we spend so much time praying for ourselves and, Lord, you know my situation. Lord, help me out of this. And God, if you would just help me out of this and if you could just see your way to get me this situation and see your way, Lord, to help me with this. And you know what? Take yourself out of it. And then watch him work. Oh, Jesus. Take yourself out of it and then watch him work. You can't be so focused, and I'm not saying this that you are. I'm not saying that you people. I'm not saying that you all are self-righteous. I'm not saying that you all are all self-involved. But sometimes our situations and circumstances can get us to only focus on us. And a lot of times we don't recognize that when we're only focused on us, and we're not focused on other people, and you're not doing anything. Oh my God! And you're not doing anything to push. And to get other people, then you're not really doing anything. You're not making anything of what God. You're not making any. You're not making good of the gifts that God has given you. So I'm gonna say this again. And I hope. And you know, so I prayed for her afterwards. I sent her a prayer via Facebook, and that was it. That was it. That was the gist of it. It was a 10-minute conversation, and that was it. But it blessed me. Because here, a perfect stranger out the blue, again, don't know the person. Don't know the person at all. Just popped up in the inbox. And, you know, you get a lot of mess in your inbox. And just popped up and just so happened, and I guess I shouldn't say accidentally, God allowed me to go ahead and just push the button to find out what was really going on. And I'm just grateful for that. I just am, man. It's just... Oh my God, it's just good. It's just good to be able to know that God is still able to that God is still listening to us. He still hears us. He still moves when there is a need. He still moves when there is a need. And it's just amazing, man. It's just amazing that's the way he works. And I'm just so grateful to him. And that's why I said God is just good, man. He's just good. He's just good. I mean, just good to a point of even though you might not be having your best day or your best week, but the fact that he's just still good, that he'll use you to bless somebody else. Ain't that in the words of Pastor Gerald Duke, ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing that God can still use you even when you don't think you are worthy? Oh my God. Even when you don't think you're worthy of being used, he can still use you in such a way that somebody else's spirits might be lifted up. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that good news? It just is, man. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing, man. And I'm just privileged. It is an absolute privilege and an honor to be one of the chosen of God. It really is. It's just a privilege and an honor, and that you can find a way to sow into other people. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you all. It's something that was on my, and I think that's part of the reason why I was in a good mood today coming in. I thought about that thing. You know, it's like so much other stuff is going on, and all the turmoil that's going on in the world. And despite that, despite all of that, still able to be a blessing to some other people. Amen. Amen. God is good, man. God is good. So look, what's going on? Let me say something. Let me say this. I know for a short time now, we've been talking about this whole NFL debate about the players taking a knee and why they were doing what they were doing. And part of that is because of Colin Kaepernick. I'm gonna give you a real brief story on this. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Last year during the NFL football season, towards the football season, because of all of the shootings and police brutality and stuff that was going on and the injustices in the court system, Colin Kaepernick decided that he was going to sit during the national anthem, that he was not going to stand, because he says he didn't feel it was right to stand for a version of this America that we like to portray, that in certain areas of the United States does not meet the quote unquote standard that the song sings about. So he decided to sit during the national anthem. All right, y'all stay with me. So then, because he was sitting, it raised the ire of a lot of people. I'm gonna give you some more. So a Navy SEAL reached out to Colin. I'll say this again. A Navy SEAL reached out to Colin. He says, "I understand what you're doing." He says, "But can I offer you some advice?" He says, "So that what you're doing doesn't come off as you being disrespectful to the flag, but still gets your point across." So he told Colin Kaepernick, he says, "How about you kneel instead of sitting?" He says, "That way you're still showing reverence, but you're still making a point to people to know that there's something else going on." So that's why he started kneeling, right? So he started kneeling, and then a few other players knelt with him, you know, but it didn't really catch on. So, but of course he caught flack. People on instantly say, you know, he got no right to play and blah, 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 blah. He should be banned and all this other kind of crazy stuff. And they decided they wanted to ban him from football and all this other stuff, right? So people were in uproar because, oh, how dare you protest the flag? And he was not protesting the flag. I want to make this clear. Colin Kaepernick kneeling was never to protest the flag or protest the national anthem. His kneeling was a protest against the violence and the senseless killings of black men and brown men in this country by those who are sworn to protect us. That's the purpose of his kneeling. Okay, now fast forward. Right now, there are protests and boycotts because now Colin Kaepernick does not have a job. Let's be clear. He asked to be released from his contract with the San Francisco 49ers because he felt like here's the deal. He felt like he was going to get cut anyway. So he asked to be released from San Francisco and thought he would get picked up on the free agent market. It did not happen. Okay? Y'all follow me? He was not cut by the 49ers. He left the San Francisco 49ers. He asked to be let out of his contract. Okay, so he opted out, which made himself an unrestricted free agent. Now, no one picked him up, right? And after a while, it was like, well, he was a little injured, a lot of stuff. Okay, fine. Season ends. New season is about to start. Training camps happen. Colin Kaepernick does not get invited anywhere other than to, I believe it was Baltimore and one other place. He does not have a job. Rumors are swirling that the NFL owners, because all of them are white, okay, they said, no, we gonna teach this little chocolate boy, we gonna teach him who's in charge, so don't none of y'all give him a shot. Now, they're saying they're not, but apparently he's been blackballed throughout the league, right? So now he's not getting a shot. So now other players are kneeling, were originally kneeling in their stance to support Kaepernick not being in the NFL. And then there's a whole group of black folk on social media and other places who are boycotting, my radio partner included, Pastor Cornelius Parks, my partner included, says that he's boycotting as well until Kaepernick gets a job. Okay, so there were so you got that going on. All right, so you got all this stuff going on, all of these different things happening. Now all of a sudden, the president gets online. I'm fast forwarding through this now. The president is in a rally in Alabama. Now y'all know who in Alabama. I don't mean no harm, but y'all know y'all can look at the rally in Alabama. You know, it was all salt, no pepper. That's all I'm gonna say. The rally in Alabama was all salt and no pepper. Not a damn piece of pepper. All right. So he's at this rally and he makes this statement about people kneeling and being disrespectful, disrespecting the flag. Mind you, the kneeling came from a Navy SEAL now and a soldier in the Army, in the armed forces, a Navy SEAL who suggested to Colin, don't sit but kneel and you would still be respectful. Now, that's coming from a Navy SEAL. But this president, who has never served anything a day in his life, ain't never served nobody, nothing, has turned it around to say that you all are now protesting the American flag and the national anthem. So then he attacks the NFL. So now the NFL owners, stay with me now, have now hijacked the protest. They're not kneeling and locking arms in solidarity for Colin Kaepernick. They're kneeling and locking arms, y'all stay with me, because they feel like the NFL was attacked by Trump. So now the real reason and the purpose for the protest has been lost, because the purpose of the protest by Colin Kaepernick was because of the injustice of black and brown people in this country. But that has now been hijacked. Because the president, because he ain't as stupid as we think he is, right? You know what I'm saying? So he attacks the NFL, and the owners now unite to say, no, you don't get to attack our NFL. But the message has been lost. Because the whole purpose of the kneeling was for Colin Kaepernick to say, I'm kneeling because I don't like the injustices that are happening to my people. By sworn officers of the law. That's the whole purpose of the kneeling. Nothing else. Y'all follow me? So here again is this solidarity now amongst NFL players, not for Colin Kaepernick, who still ain't got a job, right? Not for Colin Kaepernick, who still ain't got a job, but it's because the president went after the NFL. That's what it is. Because the president went after the NFL, and that's what this is all about. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Yolanda King says, I think the owner's acts is disingenuous. Yeah. Well, I'll say it this way. They did what they did to protect their brand. Because they know their brand can be affected. See, the brand was not being affected when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling. Let's just be honest. The brand wasn't being affected when it was just Colin kneeling. But when the president gets on national television and says that a bunch of SOBs need to be fired, now you're attacking the brand. And see, at the end of the day, you're attacking the money. And when you start attacking the money, then they're going to fight you back. So their whole acts were against Donald Trump. They weren't kneeling for, they claimed they were kneeling for unity and equality. That's what they claimed. But the truth be told, they were kneeling because Donald Trump was trying to affect their bottom line. And because there are enough people who follow this clown in office, because there are enough people who follow him in office, they know that he may affect their bottom line. So they say, oh, no, Doc, this here ain't going to work. We need to come together. which is why you saw a billion-dollar owner on his knees hugged up in between two black men on national TV. Where else are you going to see a billion-dollar owner hugged up, bowled up, arm-in-arm on his knees with two black men? Only because the NFL was attacked. Only because the NFL was attacked. So see, here we go again. The protest was hijacked. The protest has been hijacked. So the very thing that we were supposed to be protesting about has been hijacked, because now the protest has become about the NFL versus Donald Trump. And the protest was never about the NFL versus Donald Trump. Y'all, come on now, don't miss this. It was never about Donald Trump, but that's what it has become about today. We've changed the narrative, and once you change the narrative, the message has been lost. And that's the whole point. All of the media conversation. And then let's fast forward. Sports Illustrated. Oh, my God. Sports Illustrated released a new cover, and it shows all of these athletes locked arm in arm. It's photoshopped, of course, but it shows all these athletes locked arm in arm. LeBron James, Serena, D. Wade, all these other people locked arm in arm. Roger Goodell, all these people locked arm in arm on the cover. But the one person missing from the cover, who started the whole thing, Colin Kaepernick, ain't on the cover, because the message has been lost, which is why you don't even hear his name being mentioned. Can I say something? Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. They systematically has changed what the message was supposed to be, what the message was. It has been lost in the noise. And there you go, my brothers and sisters, how to break up a protest, how to throw water on a protest. Get some folk who don't understand why you are protesting, but when it affects them, they jump in and start a and protest. And your message gets lost. Ladies and gentlemen, mission accomplished. That's what happened there. That's exactly what happened there. Believe it or not, that's exactly what happened there. And it's sad. It really is. It's sad that that's what took place. But that's what's happening right now, man. And I want you guys not to be fooled. You know, a lot of people got excited when they saw the owners come out locked arm in arms and all this other stuff, but it wasn't authentic. It wasn't authentic, because I didn't hear one owner come out and say, why is Colin Kaepernick still, why has he not had several workouts? And if any of y'all have watched football, y'all know that there's a whole bunch of quarterbacks playing right now, at least 15, half, 32 teams in the league. So 16 quarterbacks. There aren't 16 quarterbacks better than Colin Kaepernick right now, and he can't even get a tryout. He can't even get an interview. We talking about can't even get a job interview. We ain't saying even let him on the field. He can't even get a job interview. He can't even get a phone call. That's what happens when you challenge when you challenge the status quo. Status quo hates change. Status quo hates ripples in the water. Status quo wants to keep everything calm and under its thumb or control. And when you challenge it, you are going to have a serious, serious fight on your hands. And that's exactly where we are right now, because he decided to challenge the status quo. That's exactly what happened. So we just need to, y'all, I mean, just it's just something that I thought I could share with you guys about that. I didn't want you to be, we talk about everything on here. And I think we have good dialogue and good conversation. Give me your thoughts. You know, are y'all even following this? I know I got more female listeners than I do male listeners. But, you know, are you all even following this at all? Do you even, like, are you even paying attention to this? Or is it just noise? Is it just white noise in the background? Is it just something, that you're just not interested in at all when it comes to the NFL protest? Is this not something that matters or resonates, or you just can't relate? Is it beyond your feel the need to even invest any time in? Let me ask that question, because it could be. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of people don't care, and that's fine. You know, I get it. But I'm just curious as to why people don't move, or why this has not really taken the type of move that it should. There was a big social media presence about it, with the whole you know, boycott the NFL, you know, not doing this and not doing that. But do you all really care? Like, how many of y'all really care about this whole NFL versus Donald Trump or Colin Kaepernick not playing? Because some people have the concept of, you know what, I don't care nothing about an athlete, can't get a job when I can't get a job. Maybe some of y'all feel that way. Maybe some people feel like, hey, what do I care about some athlete that can't get a job and I can't get one, or whatever. Maybe you feel that way about it. I'm just curious. I'll take your calls. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, area code 347-934-0546. I'm just curious as to how y'all feel about it. Because you might not care. You know what I'm saying? And that's fine. Maybe you think there are larger scale issues, and we shouldn't be concerned about the fact that this African American man is being denied, you know, an opportunity that other people are getting. Let me read your comments. Hold on. Let me read this one here. This is from Corinthians Gertman. Corinthians Gertman says, how long will it take you, the people, to realize what has happened? Where do we go from here in turning things around to the direction of what was first addressed? Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Yolanda King says, NFL is 70% black. The players have more power than they think, but the majority aren't going to buck the system and put their paycheck on the line. Absolutely. Let me address both of those. Corinthians, Corinthians, thank you for watching. I think that's the first time I've seen your name pop up. God bless you. We appreciate you for watching and listening, and thank all of y'all for listening. But let me address yours. Here's the deal. Colin Kaepernick, if you've noticed, we haven't heard from him, right? He's been incognito. He's been missing. He's been missing from the scene for a minute now. We haven't heard from him. And he's the one who started this movement. And when the person who starts, and I understand why, because I'm sure, here's the deal, he's trying to get a job. So for him to come out and do an interview, you know, can we talk? Just taking the limits off, right? Can we talk? Can we have a real conversation? You know, when you're in the process of trying to get a job, sometimes speaking your mind, let me say this from experience, sometimes speaking your mind ain't all, and telling the truth don't always, it don't always work well with those in charge. When you're trying to get a job and you're pointing out things that are blatantly wrong and blatantly not where they should be, or not being done in the way that they should be done, and you start to point that out and those in charge see that, they start to get a little squeamish. So they doubt whether or not they want to have a conversation with you, first of all. And then they don't know if it's wise to give you a public forum, because you're going to necessarily buck the system. So I'm going to answer both of y'all's comments and questions. So in Colin Kaepernick's thing, it would be great for him to do a sit-down interview with someone, right? Like, do a sit-down interview with someone and show, hey, I can still do this. This is why I did what I did. And maybe have the Navy SEAL who told him, hey, it's a better idea for you to kneel than to sit, because sitting is disrespectful, kneeling is not. And maybe he can sit there and have that conversation with someone. But the problem is, see, you have the, and let's just be honest, all of these owners are white. They don't want to see this little, this black boy, this black man on television talking about injustices, making all of their shareholders nervous, making all of these business owners nervous. Then only to have to go back, watch this, because the minute Colin Kaepernick gives an interview, watch this, the minute he gives an interview, right, Donald Trump is going to come behind that. You know that, right? Which means him and all of his supporters are going to come behind that. Yes, I know he's doing seminars and he's teaching and telling people, but all that stuff is private. We haven't seen him on anybody's television or radio anywhere in at least 2 or 3 months since he had a chance of getting with the Baltimore Ravens that got crushed. So how do we get the conversation back on why the protest started in the first place? We need the person who started the protest to come out from behind. Because watch this. He may not ever get another job in the NFL. That could be the reality of this thing. He may not ever get another job. And he has to be okay with that and still come out and stand for what he says he believes in, which means you cannot hide and not come out and stand up front and be out and be with the people. Because these people are now, because here's the deal. If they're, why are they kneeling now? Are they kneeling to support you? Or are they kneeling to support the NFL because the president went after the NFL? The lines have been blurred now. So there needs to be an understanding. And he already said in a statement, the last statement he released was he was not going to kneel during the season this year. That's what Colin Kaepernick has on the record said this, that he was not going to kneel, that he was going to use his platform doing what he's doing now, teaching and doing lectures behind the scenes. But he needs to come out from behind the curtain and let people know why this whole thing started. I know we all know it, but we need to hear it from him, because right now all these other talking heads are talking. All these other people are running their mouths and the message has been lost. And let's take it a step further. Ilana King said this about the NFL players have more power than they think. They absolutely do. But here is the problem. Every time the NFL players have made an attempt to come together and say, we demand this, that, or the third, the problem, at the bottom line, it comes down to money. If I'm a player making $25 million a year, $25 million a year. Now, y'all do the math. $25 million a year. Y'all help me now. Y'all help me with my math. Where my mathematicians at? $25 million a year divided by 16 weeks. Y'all help me now. Divided by 16. $25 million divided by 16 is $1,562,000. So if I'm making $25 million a year, y'all help me. Now, that's a lot. I can afford to strike, right? Because I've made, and I'm in my, you know, I'm a veteran. I'm making this good money. You know what it is? So I'm making half a million. That, and 25 million is a lot. That's a lot for a football player. I probably should have broke that down to more like 8 or 9. But even, so let's just say to keep the keep it easy. Let's just do it this way. So that means you. So that $300,000. That's $312,500. $312,500. That's how much they get paid weekly, right? The average NFL player makes $1.9 million, right? Okay, so the average player makes $1.9. That means there's some that are above that and there's some below that. Now watch this. The above average players can afford, if they've handled their money correctly, to miss a few checks by going on strike. Let's say I'm the guy who's third string, who barely made the team. And I'm getting the league minimum of the league minimum for a player of my position, which could be $400,000. How many checks can I afford to miss? Now, I know y'all saying, well, he ought to be able to. No. I'm brand new. I'm a rookie. Look, man, I just got this. I got to pay my parents back for all this money they spent on me to go to college. I got a house that I just bought. I got a kid I'm trying to put money up for. How long do you think they can stay on strike? Because, see, here's the deal. The rich NFL players aren't going to support the new NFL players, so that's why the strike ends. That's why when they go back to the table, they vote to end the strike because they cannot afford to stay on strike. Fast forward, let me help you out, just like the Chicago public school system. Why do you think the teachers went back after the strike, even though they didn't get what they wanted? Because it took so long, some teachers said, look, man, we ain't got no more money. I got bills that's behind. I got car notes. I got kids. I got tuition. I got all this other stuff. We can't stay on strike no longer. So, look, we're going to get whatever we can get, and then we'll strike again sometime later. That's what happens. That unity, that quote-unquote union unity, it falls apart. And the owners win every time. The owners win every time. And that's why we as black folk, I said this, it don't take black men, it's not that I don't have any confidence in my brothers, I know we can protest and all this stuff, but I would say this to black women, and I know it's a hard thing for y'all to do, but I said this before, if black women in this country, for 30 days, my God, for 30 days, decided not to buy a hair care product. For 30 days. Don't buy a hair. I mean, just don't buy any. Don't buy no cosmetics. Don't buy no weave. Don't buy none of that. Don't buy nothing beauty related. Do you know how much power you have? That would cause people to pay attention. I'm not trying to tell nobody, I ain't trying to tell y'all to go natural and all that. I'm not saying that. But that would cause people to really pay attention. Because, see, there's so much money in that. Because y'all spend hundreds of dollars. Some of y'all spend $200, $300, $400 between the weave y'all put in y'all's head and the eyebrows getting arched, the eyelashes, the this, the that, the makeup, all of that stuff, y'all spend money by the thousands, the millions. It's already been documented that the black hair industry is almost a $1 trillion industry. What happens if you stop the flow of $1 trillion for a month? Somebody would stand up and pay attention. Somebody would say, well, wait a minute. Hold on now. Wait. Say what? And it's easy to say, only buy black products. No. And here's the deal. But you have to be willing. Here is the deal. This is where if we're going to take this stand, see, what's the term? Hairstylist, beautician? Y'all help me. I don't know. What's the term now? Is it, is it beautician, hairstylist, salon technician? What is it? I don't even know what it's called. Tanya, what is it? Somebody help me. What y'all call it now? I don't even know. But they would have to help y'all, right? So this would have to be a well-organized machine, right? And you just do this thing, and they would have to help y'all because nobody wants y'all walking around looking crazy for a month. I'm not saying walk around looking crazy. So they would have to help each other. This is where you have to come together and help each other out. It's like when you know how the bus boycott worked? Because black folks who had cars helped out black folk who didn't. So you did not go to work. You still went to work. You just didn't catch the bus. Ah, see what I'm saying? So that's why it worked. That's why it worked. So I'm gonna need this is what my beauticians and my hairstylist are gonna say. Look, I'm gonna still do y'all's hair. I'm gonna just give y'all some. I'm gonna do some basics so your hair don't get messed up. I'm just saying. That's how change is made. But then what will happen is, I need my weed. I need my my MAC makeup and my Chanel and my La Mer and all of that stuff. I need all of that. But if you want to make it, I'm not telling you. I'm just saying I was using that as an example on how you can put how your dollars can speak for you if you put them together and you unite them. You can enact change. You can enact change. You really could. You really could. Hey, amen. I know. I went off the deep end for a minute. I'm sorry. I just had to do that. Let me see this. What's up, Daria? Daria says, I don't know what they call themselves. Consciousness comes with sacrifice. Yeah. Corinthians says we have to work together. Yeah, we do. We have to. Nothing gets accomplished on its own. I am the king of wanting to do everything by myself. But I've had to learn that I can't do it by myself. Trust me. If I thought I could just do everything by myself, I would just do it. But I can't. And it takes us, we're going to have to learn that we can't do these things on an individual basis. There shouldn't have to be 5 and 6 different Stop the Violence networks. There should be one that we can build and train each other and then branch off. But because nobody wants to work with anybody, that's why some of them are so ineffective. That's why. They're ineffective because you got people just out there trying to do something with no training and with no, there's no unity behind it. There's no, I love this word. This is a word called conglomerate, where a bunch of people come together, right? A bunch of people come together. It's like. Can I give you a very good example? You know why the mob was so successful? You know why the Italian mob was so successful? Because they had all these different families who came and sat down at the table and says, we need to do what's best for our families. So all of this killing we doing back and forth, we need to stop that. We need to do what's best for our families. So I'm going to ask this question. What are we doing that's best for our people? What are we doing that's going to be best for our people? When are we going to do that? When are we going to make that move? It's just a thought. Y'all know I'm just talking. I don't know. I really would wish that we would get to a point, though, that we would recognize the power that we actually hold. If you got questions, comments, man, feel free to call in. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, the call-in number is area code 347-934-0546. Or you can email the show. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. We'd love to read your emails on the air. Those of you commenting on Facebook, God bless y'all. Y'all continue to do that. But look, we got 30 minutes. We're gonna jump into today's article. So this is gonna be good. So I'm gonna take a real quick break. When we come back, if you haven't hit the share button, my musicians, praise and worship leaders, band members, soloists, background singers, altos, sopranos, tenors, bassists. Baritone. Y'all know who you is. All of y'all, hit the share button. Start calling your people. Invite them in. This is going to be good, man. This is about to get good. We want to talk about this. How to move from song leading to worship leading. This is going to be good. I hope y'all ready. This is going to be good. I'm ready for this. This is going to be hot. Y'all stay blessed, man. We'll be right back in about 45 good seconds, more like 30. Be right back, y'all.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen, amen. We are back. So it's Taking Limits Off Radio, right? Praise Break Friday. Always on Friday, We do articles concerning worship and praise, and because here is my deal, and I believe this to my core, and this is for any church. If you want to get more souls, if you're really about saving souls of the people, if you're really about mentoring to souls, if you're really about getting people closer to Christ, then you first have to lift him up. You first have to lift him up. And that's why I like Praise Break Friday. That's why we went with the title for Fridays when we were naming our different themes for the week. We went with Praise Break Friday because we believe that when God is lifted up, when the word is gone forth, and when you're telling people about Jesus, when you're lifting up the name of Jesus, he will then draw people to where you are. Amen. Now, if you're lifting up a whole bunch of other stuff, he ain't finna send no folk your way. Amen. I just want to put that out there. If you're lifting up a bunch of mess, he ain't sending nobody your way. Amen. So look, here it is, y'all. This really good article, right? Simply entitled How to Move from Song Leading to Worship Leading. Woo! How to Move from Song Leading to Worship Leading. I saw this thing, man, and I said, well, I had a bunch, and we had some really good articles that we could have used today. But I was sitting and talking to my producer between last night and this morning, and this is the one we decided to go with, man. So this is good. This is good. Let me get it up on this other computer over here so I can make sure I can talk to everybody at the same time about the same stuff, and we'll be good to go. Let me quit this right here. Yeah, we want to close that, and we want to close that too. Amen. All right. So. The article is simply entitled "How to Move from Song Leading to Worship Leading." Again, how to move from song leading to worship leading. This is the good stuff, y'all. So we're gonna jump right into this thing, and y'all come on, go with me. If you haven't hit your share button, go ahead and invite your friends in. Don't say this information for yourself. Go ahead and get your friends in here. This is what the writer says. The writer says this: leaders, how do you go from just leading songs to leading worship? How do you get a congregation to get past just singing songs to actually worshiping God? He says, let me suggest some insights to help you grow as a worship leader. So here we go. Signs that you're a song leader. And some folk just a really good soloist. And I'm not knocking people who just sing solos. We want to draw the contrast. We want to give you the contrast of the difference. So here we go. Let's jump right into this. The writer says this. He says, you pick, number one, you pick nice songs, but the congregation never arrives at worshiping God. You pick nice songs, but the congregation never arrives at worshiping God. How many times have you picked out a really good song, a really good worshiping song, but the only person really worshiping is just you because you were never able to get the congregation to move into a level of worship? How many of you all have ever experienced that, or you've been in a church? You've been at a church, and the worship leader goes forth, and you recognize the song they're singing, and you can see they're up there, they're trying really, really hard, but the atmosphere never changes in the room. Hmm? It's a good question, right? Then he says this. Number two, he says, you're not sure about what to do when the introductions and the endings of the song are being played. You ever seen that? Song leaders get up and there's this time in between the actual song starting where there's just this I hate to say dead air because the musicians are playing, but there's this silence. And that's because as a soloist, you only feel like all I need to do is get up and sing. You're not trying to create a relationship with the congregation. So you ever been around folk who are true worshipers, and when they get up to take the microphone before the song sing, they're going to let you know why they're up there doing what they're doing? They're going to let you know, look, I'm not just up here to sing to you. As a matter of fact, what I'm up here singing about ain't got nothing to do with you. It's about my relationship with God. See, I'm talking about moving to a different level of worship. So when it happens, before the song even starts, the worship leader is already starting to set the atmosphere, right? And then when the song is over, the worship leader then is still in the midst of the atmosphere that's been set. Because if everything was set from the beginning, by the time the song ends, there is that fragrance of worship. in the room, a fragrance, a, you can tell. It's kind of like at the beginning. You know, see, worship. Can I help somebody? See, when the atmosphere of worship happens, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. When the atmosphere of worship happens, the atmosphere of worship is like that sweet-smelling savor, right? It's like being in the house when food is being prepared, you know. Even before it starts cooking, when mama and grandmama back there and they just cutting up the vegetables and they got that stock pot on the stove and it's just, and ain't nothing in it but water that's been seasoned, right? Ain't no food even in the pot. Ain't nothing really in there but some salt and some pepper and some seasoned salt and whatever meat they're trying to get ready, right? And so that's all that's cooking. But you know something good is about to happen because you can sense it in the atmosphere. The smell, the aroma in the house has changed. They haven't even got to the meal yet, but you know something good is happening. That's the same way worship is. I'm going to help somebody. That's the same way worship is. Excuse me, because now you know something is about to happen. And then the song starts, right? That's the preparation. Now the song is started. And then we get to that's the same thing in the kitchen. Now the cooking is actually taking place, right? Now the cooking is taking place. Now watch this. Now when the song is over, that means it's now time to eat. Oh, help me, somebody. Now it's time for me to enjoy what just happened. Now, but see, when you're just singing, there's no prep time. There's no worship. It's just you performing. Come on, somebody. It's just you performing. And so you got to get to, that's okay. I ain't going to get no thumbs up. I ain't going to get no hearts. It's all right. It don't even matter. I'm just trying to help somebody. This is what happens when true worship starts to take place. Right? Let's go. Number three says this. This is what happens. He said, number three says, you don't have a worship destination in mind when choosing the flow of your worship set. See, watch this. There should always be a destination in mind when you're preparing songs for Sunday. This is why the connection between the pastor and the minister of music and the choir has to be tight. This is why it needs to be so tight, right? It needs to be this tight because we need to know where you're trying to take us. So if we're all going in the same direction, y'all stay with me. If we're all trying to go in the same direction, we can't. If we all say we're getting in the same car, going the same way, everybody can't. We say, look, I'm going, like, if we're going down, like, say, let's say you're going down to Mississippi, right? Or Louisiana, you know, 12-hour drive, right? 10-12-hour drive. And you got a bunch of folk in the car, and you say, okay, I'm going to take, here is the direction that we're going. Here's the direction. So you got a map, and it's laid out, right? Oh, my God, help me, Holy Ghost. The map is laid out. And I say, I'm going to take the first leg, right? That's the praise and worship. Oh, my God. I'm going to take the first leg, and I'm going to take us as where I'm going to take us, and then I'm going to pull over, and then we ain't gonna stop the car. We ain't gonna turn the engine off. We just gonna pull over, and we gonna get gassed up if we need to. We're gonna stretch your legs a little bit, but then you're gonna get in the driver's seat, and then you're gonna take us to the next mile marker. Come on, somebody. And then you're gonna take us. See, now that's the choir. Help me, Lord. Help me, right? That's the choir. Then the choir gets us there. Then the preacher comes. Uh-huh. We pull over again because we may have to stop one more time. That's for those of you who like to stop. Y'all know whoever rode with me, I don't stop. But, you know, the preacher, that's the choir. Then comes the preacher who going to take us all home, right? And that's when the food, that's when we start eating. Because, see, now the preacher is serving. Oh, my. See, the praise team prepares. The choir cooks, and then the preacher serves. I just said that. Did I not? What time is it? Somebody marked the time. It's 1:09. I got to go back and listen to this myself because it needs to be good notes, and I don't have no notes. I have to go back and rewatch the recording. But I'll give it to you again. The praise team prepares. The choir and the musicians, they do the cooking. And then the preacher serves. And if all of this stuff is taking place and you're in the congregation, you've just been sitting back watching the prep, right? Oh my God, this is, ooh, I can smell it. She cooking my favorite dish. And, oh, this is going to be so good. And then the choir, oh, now see, look, ooh, yeah, mm-hmm, she done went, did this and did that. Now you're sitting there. Now here, now you get ready to sit down. And when, by the time the preacher get up, you sitting at the table ready to eat. Ah, oh, my God. You sitting at the table ready to eat all of the things because, see, now you're ready. Your heart is prepared. Your heart is prepared. You're ready to partake of the goodness of the Lord. If there was a destination in mind. Let's go. Number four says this. He says, you mostly, and we're still talking about signs that you're just a song leader. You mostly just sing the notes on the page. Uh-oh. You mostly just sing the notes on the page. That means you're just up there singing the words. There is no true commitment. There is no true connection to God. You're just up there singing the words. See, when you're just up there singing the words, you're not, there is no connection. And then if you ain't connected to God, then the folk ain't connected. If you up there just going through the motions, don't you know people can tell when you just going through the motions? Huh? Don't you know people can tell when you, can I say it, when you faking it? Huh? See, it's like relationships. People can tell when you just faking and when you just going along just to get along. Well, I'm on sing, but even though I really don't feel like it, I'm on sing, even though I really don't want to be here. I'm on sing anyway, Reverend. I'm on sing anyway, Pastor. I'm on sing anyway. No. Give God what you owe Him. And you owe Him more than just song, than just notes on the page or words on the paper. My. Come on. Let's keep going. Number five says this. A person who's just a song leader, you don't encourage the congregation to engage in the attitudes or actions of worship. Uh-oh. The attitudes or actions of worship. I'll say it again. The attitudes or actions of worship. This is good. I don't want y'all to miss this. So you're up singing, and you don't even engage the congregation into the attitude of worship, because there's an attitude about worship. There's an attitude when it comes to worship. There's something about worshiping that sets the attitude. There's a posture to it. You know it when you see it. You know it when you're around it. You know it when you're connected to it. You know it when it happens. There is an attitude of worship. Then there are some actions of worship and praise. There's some hand clapping that take place. There's some hands lifted that take place during worship. There's some heads bowed. There's some tears that flow. There's some smile. There's some frown. There's some groaning. There's some holding of the self. There's some things that happen during worship, and these are actions of worship. There's some running. There's some jumping. There's some leaping. There's some dancing. All of these things are actions of worship. But you know these things when you see them. But if you're just a song leader, my God. If you're just a song leader, you don't recognize these actions are necessary and that these attitudes are part of the worship process. Oh, my. That they're part of the worship process. Let's keep going. Excuse me. Let's keep going. Number seven says this. He says, you just sing a song and hope everyone sings along. So you're just singing a song. And you hope everybody sings along. See, that's what happens when you're just a song leader. That's the difference between a song leader and a worshiper. I'm going to give you these real quick. I'm going to post these on the Facebook comments for you all. I'm going to post these for you. I want to make sure you have them. So you know you're on the same page as me. So these are the attitude. This is the difference. We're talking about song leaders versus worship leaders, right? So I gave you those. Those are the seven of a song leader versus a worship leader. Amen. Let's keep going, y'all. We got 15 minutes. We on time. Bless the Lord. Bless him. All right. So here we go. Now, y'all ready for this? Signs. Come on now. What's up, Prophet Cornelius Williams? God bless you. Signs you are a worship leader. Now we're going to talk now. Now we're going to talk. Signs you are a worship leader. The writer says this. The writer says this. Where is that? He says, you love to worship God at home when nobody is watching. See, that's when you really know you got something going. When you worship God at home, and see, can I talk to my praise and worship members and leaders out there, my musicians, who can just be, look, you could be downstairs in your basement or wherever you got your keyboard or your drums or your guitar set up, and you're practicing a song, and you're all by yourself, and you just start worshiping, and that rehearsal turns in, that rehearsal session turns into a worship session. See, that's when you know you've moved from just being a musician to being a worshiper. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. This just helped me right here. This is when you know you've moved from being a worshiper, moved from being just a song leader and a songwriter to a worshiper. This is when you recognize, he said, when you can worship God when nobody else is watching. Ooh, let's go. Number two says, you worship God during rehearsals. I just went there. Have you ever just been sitting back and even in your choir rehearsal, your praise rehearsals, and it's been so long, I haven't been to a rehearsal in so long, but I remember back in the day, even with our former praise team here at the church, but I remember with the youth choir back in the day, they used to have some powerful rehearsals. And I mean, every now and then, the Spirit of God would just decide, the rehearsal would get so high up that we would, at some point, they wouldn't know what they were doing, but at some point, they would tap into the Spirit of God. Oh, my. And then all of a sudden, the rehearsal went from rehearsal to service. Have you ever been around and it went from, it's like being at a concert, right? And you go to the concert because he's your favorite artist, and you know, your favorite gospel artist, but then all of a sudden, the concert turns from concert to service. It turns from a, you know, you forget you paid, you know, $69.99 or $89.99 for a ticket. You forget that, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I done forgot. I'm in worship. That's when you know you've truly reached the level of worship, because it's no longer about the music. Number three says, you understand what the attitudes and actions of worship are. Now you understand it's okay for me to clap my hands, that I should be clapping. I should be celebrating. It's okay that I got an attitude that something is going to happen, that I have a mindset, that I know that if I worship and if I praise God and if I praise him at a certain level, that somebody gonna be delivered, that somebody might be delivered from a place. Yeah. Yeah. This is when we recognize who God is. I wonder if we really know and recognize who God is and what we're doing and why we're doing it. Amen, amen. Again, if you just tuned in, we're talking about how to move from song leading to worship leading. So we're talking about more than just singing a song. We're talking about being a worship leader. Number four says this: you engage in the attitudes and actions of worship in private and in public. So you don't just do it at church. See, how many? Let me ask you this question: how many of you all driving in your car? Those of you who listen to gospel music, and I'm not knocking nobody that listens to other music, because you can listen to whatever you want. But when you ever been listening to gospel music in your car and you're driving along and all of a sudden you just get that you start to feel the very presence of God, because you tend to forget about what you're doing and where you're going and where you're headed, but it's just you, and that the words of that song have now entuned your heart, and now your heart is now in tune to God, and in the process you forget that you're driving your car. And all of a sudden, while you driving, this has happened to me. I can be driving. I'm a one-hand driver anyway. So I'm driving, and you know, and all of a sudden, before I know it, my hand done went up. My hand done went up, and then before you know it, I had to catch myself, because the other hand done got lifted, and I hope I'm at a stoplight. And then before you know it, I done clapped a couple of times, and I done shout out a couple of, hey, glory. I done let some stuff loose in the car. See, the actions and attitudes have to be more than just public. They have to be private actions. Ah, come on now, come on. That's right, Corinthians. You start waving. I've been in the car, and you don't even realize it because you might be going through something, and as you're driving, all of a sudden a tear might start welling up in your eye, and then sometimes you catch yourself. You say, wait a minute, why am I about to cry? What's going on? What's wrong with me? And then you know, a lot of times we cut it off. But then, you know, lately what I've learned to do is just let that thing flow, man. Just let that thing go because, see, that's when you're in tune to God. It's not just emotionalism. It's you being in tune to God. And now, excuse me, and now you recognize that hey, wait a minute. Now, this is God trying to seek me. This is God trying to talk to me. I recognize this. I know his presence. See, if you know his presence, then you can't get, oh, my God. If you know his presence and you've been there before, see, you don't get offended. You don't get too caught up. You ain't too stuffed in your Christianity that you ain't too high and mighty that you can't let a tear flow. Help me, Holy Ghost. You ain't too caught up in yourself that you can't just let a little hallelujah come out. If you feel that thing in your spirit, you got to let that thing go. I just think we need to recognize that. Let's keep going. Number five says this. You memorize the music so you can focus on God. Woo! You memorize the music so you can focus on God. Y'all get that? What does that mean? That means, see, I'm not finna get caught up in holding on to this paper, trying to read these words. I'm not finna be sitting here. You know what? I've studied this enough so that now when I get up to do what I'm doing, now I can just commune with God. Now I can just commune with his spirit. Now it's me and him. And you forget about the room. You forget about the paper. You forget about all of that. Now it's just God. I want you to show up in this place. God, I want to give you my best because I want people to see the God that I see. I want people to see the God that the one that comforts me when I can't comfort myself. Hey, glory, Jesus. I want people to see the God that holds me when I can't hold myself. The God that lifts me up when I can't lift myself. I want people to see that God. But if I'm up here trying to hold on to this paper because I ain't took the time to study the words, if I'm doing this, then guess what? Now you're distracted because you want to know what's in the paper I'm holding and what's in this and what is that. But if I take the time to learn the music, help me, Lord. If I take the time to learn the music, now my focus is only on you. Number six says, you have a worship goal in mind when you plan your church worship. Right, so we've set a goal ahead of time. We've set a goal ahead of time. And the goal is to get people to where God is. That should be the goal of every worship set, is to lift us up to where God is. It's to lift up the congregation to where God is. Because, see, he's already in the room. But if you keep your worship at this stagnant level, you'll never get up there, and you'll never get up there where you can actually feel his presence. But see, some of us have gotten to this place where we want to play, we want to play Marco Polo in church. That'll hit some of y'all on the way home. We want to play Marco Polo in church. Marco Polo, Marco, We plan. We want to play the game. We just want to play a game instead of just knowing what's necessary to get there. And guess what? Sometimes it's going to take more to get there than it took last week. You may have gotten his presence last week. This week it may take a little bit more. Number 7 says this. He says, you encourage the band and the congregation to engage in the attitudes of worship. So here we go. How do you do this? You got to keep a worship destination in mind, right? That means you have to intentionally pick worship songs that help people focus on singing directly to God. Pick songs and music that people can sing direct. Not that you want them just to sing along with you, but that they can sing directly to God. So I understand why. This is, again, I don't have a problem with hymns and all of those songs. don't have a problem with those. It's not that a problem. My issue is them being done to the glory of God. Them being done with excellence and so that he can get the glory out of it and not you and not your memory and all this other stuff, but so that he gets the glory out of this thing. That's my desire. Amen, amen. Let's keep going. So then the writer says this. He says different songs have different focus. Some songs are about God. Some songs are about the theology of God. Some songs teach us. Some are fast. Some are slow. Some songs challenge us, and some help us express our feelings. He says some songs are personal prayers directly to God. Understanding the purpose of the songs you choose are important. We can't just pick songs because they sound good. It's no more than preaching. There's a whole lot of sermons I would love to preach and all these crazy titles in my mind, but they sound good. But God didn't say, okay, now I'm releasing you to preach it. Trust me, there's a whole lot of sermons in this little brain of mine that's floating around that I would love to preach. But God has said, I ain't released you to preach it. That's why you don't have no scripture to back up what you want to preach. Now, he's given me some, but I'm not graced to preach them. I've got scripture and text, but I am not graced because it is outside of my position to preach it, which is why I have not preached it. There is a sermon that God gave me before I ever became a preacher. That I have not, that even as a preacher, now for the last, almost 8 years, 9 years, seven, eight, yeah, 8 years. Even as a preacher for the last 8 years, I have not been graced to preach it because I am not in a position to preach it. And that doesn't mean position, meaning I don't have the authority to preach it. Amen. Amen. My God. Ooh, Jesus, help me. So then he says, number two says they've done the necessary rehearsal to move past the music to worshiping God. Meaning you did what was necessary in the practice, in the preparation. You did what was necessary so that when it came time to serve, you were ready. Then he says they flowed from one song to another. They kept their focus on God and leading people through the whole worship time. Oh, my God. This is wonderful. I love this. I hope y'all got something out of this, man. This was absolutely wonderful for me. Y'all blessed me today. I thank y'all so much for y'all comments and everything. Let us pray quickly and briefly. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we love you for who you are. God, we just extol you, God, and we lift your name right now. God, we know that there are some who are going through some things right now in their life, God, and right now, God, we come on behalf of them. And asking you, God, that you would find it in your will, God, to help them in their time of need, God, to help them in their time of peril, God, to help them in their time of confusion, God. God, we know there are those who have been given the arduous task, God, of doing and accomplishing some great things, God. And right now, God, we ask that you would continue to strengthen them in their walk, God. God, we ask that you would continue to bless them in whatever their endeavors are. God, there are churches that are about to make some major decisions in their lives that could change the process and change the other direction of their churches right now, God. And we ask for prayer for those people who are in charge of those things right now, God. Then, God, we ask for prayer for every church that is opening your name, God. We ask for prayer for this Sunday, God, when every preacher steps behind the pulpit this Sunday, God, that he has a rhema and fresh word from you, God. We ask that he has a rhema and fresh word from you. God, we know you can do all things but fail. So we ask this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, y'all, I got to go. Got to hit the road, Jack. So anyway, look, I got to go, man. Look, I love y'all. I really do. And I appreciate y'all. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your comments. I just appreciate you all for who you are and what you mean to this show. This show would not be what it is if it wasn't for God and if it wasn't for you. So I ask that you all will continue to pray for me, and I'll continue to pray for you. And I guarantee you, you'll see some things change. Y'all stay blessed. And if you got to drive through this special city we call Chicago, y'all know what to do. Keep your head on the swivel. I'm gone. Peace.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you the Lord changed your mind. Some of you God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabak in this house. Hey, 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 hey. Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost now because of your praise. God said, I just turned it around for you. And I know it's tight where you are. But if you believe God's going to turn it around, get up out of your seat and turn around one time. And say, God, it's already fixed.
We picking up the-